Before we dive into today's episode, I want to tell you about a free three-act worksheet to help you structure your story. Whether you're a plotter or a pantser, a novelist or short fiction writer, this three-act worksheet will help you navigate your material and even begin each new story with a better plan. Download yours at nancypannuccio.com/act. Stop getting stuck in the middle of your draft. Go grab this free worksheet, nancypannuccio.com/act. It really should hook your reader emotionally. A good plot is not enough. Action is not enough. We want to feel something for your character in your opening, even if our feelings are conflicted. Writer Unleashed is for you, a writer who has a story you want to bring onto the page and into the hearts and minds of readers. I'm Nancy Pannuccio, writer, editor, and writing coach, and each week we'll explore techniques, mindsets, and inspiration for writing stories readers can't put down. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let's begin. How do you write an opening scene that hooks your reader? Some story openings are so powerful that they compel you to keep reading. You must keep reading. In other words, you are hooked. A hook is usually defined as the very first sentence of the story. And your first sentence is important, but you want to extend the reader's interest into the lines that follow. A hook is crafted to capture your reader's interest. I'm going to define a hook as the opening scene or the opening paragraphs. So a hook is the first thing that draws the readers into your story. A strong hook does multiple things to draw the reader in. Usually, it throws them into the middle of some action, or it stokes their curiosity about an intriguing character or an unusual situation, or it entices them with questions that they crave the answer to. So in this episode, we're going to focus on opening hooks, the opening of a story that makes continuing to read irresistible. There are four common elements that a story hook has, and we'll break down each with examples. Now, sometimes it takes a while to craft your opening hook because a great hook contains a lot of the DNA of the story as a whole. It foreshadows, it sets the tone, it sparks curiosity, it makes a promise to the reader. So don't feel like you have to nail your opening hook right from the jump. It's something you'll come back to as you write and revise. It simply means that the story starts with something interesting happening. For example, the movie The Godfather has a masterful opening scene. It's 7 minutes long, but it accomplishes so much. It starts with a close-up of a man, an Italian immigrant. His name is Bonasera, as we learn. The first thing he says is that he loves America, and he talks about all the opportunity America has afforded him, etc. And then he goes into the story about how his daughter was violently beaten, and that the two boys who beat her were let go during the trial with no charges. And now he wants justice. And as he tells the story, the camera pulls back to show this man behind the desk. It's Vito Corleone, played by Marlon Brando. But we don't see him yet. We just see the back of his head, and it's kind of blurry. And he's very soft-spoken, and he listens to Bonacera, and then he asks him what he wants him to do. And Bonacera gets up and whispers in his ear. Now, we're still viewing the back of Vito Corleone. We're assuming that Bonacera is wanting Vito to kill these guys. And then Vito Corleone says, "What you're asking me to do, I cannot do." And then he goes into how Bonacera has never invited him to his house, not even for coffee, and that he should have come to him before he went to the police. So he feels that Bonacera hasn't shown respect or friendship, and he feels slighted that he comes to him now asking for justice, and he refuses to give him what he wants. Now, Bonacera becomes increasingly desperate, and by the end of the scene, Vito has the guy kissing his hand, groveling for justice, calling him Godfather. Don Corleone finally says he'll help him, but that he doesn't have to pay him any money. He'll ask Bonacera for a favor in the future as payment. And this becomes key later in the movie. And at the end of the scene, after Bonacera leaves, Vito turns to his right-hand guy and orders him to put a certain guy on the job to take care of these thugs. And he says, "We're not murderers, despite what the caretaker said." So here's what I've noticed about openings that hook me into the story immediately. There are several things they're doing that work, multiple things that pull me in and make it impossible for me to turn away. I've narrowed it down to four. Here we go. Number one, something is already in action. It's in the middle of something. So we're meeting the characters in the middle of something significant or revealing. In The Godfather, Bonacera and Vito Corleone are already seated. We're not getting the introductions or Bonacera coming into Don Corleone's office. We don't see the brutal beating of his daughter or the court hearing where the boys were set free. Now, the hook does not need to be something epic. When I say action, I don't mean it has to be a car chase or some other blockbuster opening. It doesn't have to start with a bank heist or an explosion. What I like about the opening to The Godfather is that it's quiet, it's understated, but it's powerful. A hook just means that a character, usually the protagonist, but not always, should be doing something when the book opens that's worth sticking around for. It could be a very brief summary. It could be a line of dialogue. In The Godfather, it's Bonacera's monologue. It could be a question. It could be an action. But starting in the middle of something happening is always a good way in. It gives the story a place to go so that it feels like it's heading somewhere. So number one, something is already in action. Okay, on to number two. A great hook provokes questions. Here's an example from a novel I'm currently reading. This is from The Mars Room by Rachel Kushner. I'm just going to read the first page. Here's the first line. Chain night happens once a week on Thursdays. Now, I'm already hooked. I'm wondering, what is chain night? What does this mean? And she continues to answer my question. Once a week, the defining moment for 60 women takes place. For some of the 60, that defining moment happens over and over. For them, it's routine. For me, it happened only once. I was woken at 2 a.m. and shackled and counted. Romy Leslie Hall, inmate W314159, and lined up with the others for an all-night ride up the valley. Okay, so what do we already know? Well, we know who the narrator is. We know who the story is about. Romy. We know where she is, in prison, and we know what time it is, 2 a.m. Questions I still have. Why is she in prison? And where is the bus going at 2 a.m.? Where are they taking her? What's up in the valley? So a great opening elicits questions and intrigue. She continues, "As our bus exited the jail perimeter, I glued myself to the mesh reinforced window to try to see the world. There wasn't much to look at. Underpasses and on-ramps, dark, deserted boulevards. No one was on the street. We were passing through a moment in the night so remote that traffic lights had ceased to go from green to red and merely blinked a constant yellow. Another car came alongside. It had no lights. It surged past the bus, a dark thing with demonic energy. There was a girl on my unit in county who got life for nothing but driving. She wasn't the shooter, she would tell anyone who'd listen. All she did was drive the car. That was it. They used the license plate reader technology. They had it on video surveillance. What they had was an image of the car at night moving along a street, first with lights on, then with lights off. If the driver cuts the lights, that is premeditation. If the driver cuts the lights, it's murder." Okay, now the opening scene doesn't end there, but that's the hook. So questions give the reader a reason to keep reading. It intrigues, but it doesn't give it all away. It withholds, but it doesn't withhold too much. Now, sometimes I'll read an opening that is trying to withhold too much, but it's too cryptic. And so we don't have a clear picture of who the main character is, where they are, or what's happening. And we have no hints about what this person cares about or what's important to them. So sometimes writers will create what they think is an intriguing opening, but it's too mysterious. It's too cryptic. Yes, you want mystery, but not so much that the reader doesn't know what's happening or why we should care. A good hook, whether it uses action or a strong first line or another technique, will have your reader guessing about your character's motivations and backstories. In The Mars Room, I'm curious about what Romy did to wind up in prison. I want the backstory. The backstory is doled out slowly over the course of the novel. Now, I'm only halfway through, so I don't have the full backstory yet. Once you have your reader's attention, you want to maintain it. So writing a great hook will get your reader's attention, but if you leave them with lots of unanswered questions, they'll just become frustrated. In order to sustain your reader's interest, you want to make sure to answer at least some of the question posed in your hook fairly early on while keeping some information for later. For example, in The Mars Room, I want to know first, what crime did Romy commit? The last line leads me to think maybe she did murder someone, but is she guilty? If she is, who did she murder? And what were the circumstances that led to it? Was she justified? Now, the backstory is doled out slowly. And again, I'm halfway through the book. And her backstory is coming into focus piece by piece. So I'm getting more of what motivated her and why she felt justified. I know the nature of her crime. My inference from the opening was dead on right. It was murder. But the details about her crime are doled out slowly. We get a little bit at a time. And the promise is that we'll learn everything in due time. So number two, provoke questions. Okay, on to number three. A great opening hook creates an emotional connection to the character. It really should hook your reader emotionally. A good plot is not enough. Action is not enough. We want to feel something for your character in your opening, even if our feelings are conflicted. In order for us to really get hooked into the story, we have to have a sense of who this person is, what they value. So how do we form this human connection? Well, we have to learn what's important to this character, their values. We connect to their humanity that way. We know what's important to them. For example, in The Godfather, we hook into this moral code. Vito Corleone doesn't want to murder the boys. That's not his brand of justice. Beating them, though, would be. So when he says to Bonacera in the opening scene, "I can't do what you ask," he's drawing that line. But we also learn that he values friendship. In fact, he's disappointed that Bonacera has not shown friendship. And what's interesting about this story, even in the novel, is that the protagonist of The Godfather is not Don Corleone. It's his son, Michael. Vito is essential to the story. He's a major character. But this hook brings us into their world, and it sets the tone of the entire movie. And at the end of that opening scene, Don Corleone turns to his right-hand man and says, "We're not murderers, despite what the Undertaker says." So we get a sense of his honor and ethics. He doesn't feel murder fits the crime. Bonacera's daughter is still alive. But he's also predatory and manipulative, even to the people he protects. And this is fascinating. So we meet a complex and morally ambiguous character. While he's portrayed as this loving and devoted family man, he's also the head of a powerful crime family. He's involved in illegal activities. So why does this work? Well, his son and successor, Michael, is driven by vengeance. He's really the opposite of his father. Vito Corleone is kind. I mean, illegal activities aside, he values friendship and relationships. He's a family man. And all of this is set up in the opening scene. Michael, his son and successor, is driven by different values. So it's a great opening hook because it sets up the whole idea of murder. Even if we're not willing to fully believe that Don Corleone doesn't condone murder, we expect that murders will happen. In fact, later on, when Vito's son is assassinated, Vito doesn't seek vengeance, he seeks peace. He values relationships, he values friendships. It's all in that opening scene, and it's only 7 minutes long. In the Mars room, we see Romy yearning to see what's on the outside as she's traveling in this bus. We see what she notices and how she interprets it, and how she relates what she's seeing on the road to someone she knows, and the arbitrary nature of deciding guilt versus innocence. So action is not enough. Plot is not enough. We need to meet real human beings, and we need to learn something that makes us care, something that makes us intrigued about a character, about their situation, and wonder about their motivations and their backstory. We need to care or be curious enough about your characters to care what happens as the story unfolds. So, number three, create an emotional connection. Okay, on to number four, contradiction. This is all about surprise. This is when you put things together in a scene that we don't normally associate being together. And this creates an irresistible tension. For example, in The Godfather, one of the most contrasting elements is the kitten on Vito Corleone's lap. So as the camera focuses on the long shot of the room, we see a kitten on his lap, he's petting it, and we hear the purring. There are also two men at the perimeter of the room, standing in silence. Obviously, they work for him. They carry out orders. They give Bonacera a tissue when he cries. They give him a glass of water, but they're silent. Vito is also soft-spoken. There is this eerie, calm equanimity to the way he speaks. Not something we might expect from a mafia don. There's composure. And as I mentioned earlier, he has some moral ambiguity, and that's compelling. He goes against stereotype. The other contrasting element is the fact that this conversation, this business conversation, takes place on his daughter's wedding day. In fact, as the scene ends and his right-hand guy opens the door, we hear the festivities and the music in the background. In the Mars room, we have a narrator who is introspective, who thinks in a way we wouldn't expect. She's observant. Again, goes against stereotype. She's also a woman, and we don't see many stories about female convicts. There's also that car that passes without headlights, something we wouldn't expect. Now, hooks aren't just for your story's first chapter. I mean, if you're writing a short story, then you'll definitely want an opening hook, and maybe each scene starts with a hook sentence. For books with multiple chapters, you can use a hook to both end a chapter and begin a new one. So your first chapter isn't the only one that can benefit from a hook. Try opening each chapter with action, a bit of dialogue, or an interesting piece of information that will grab your reader's attention. This will maintain your reader's desire to keep reading chapter by chapter. So there you go. Four ways to create an opening that hooks your reader. Number one, events already in motion. Number two, it provokes questions. Number three, it creates a human connection. And number four, contradiction. You want to go for surprise. A hook has contradicting elements, and that creates a lot of tension and interest. So you want your opening to provoke the reader to question, to wonder, and to be so absorbed they can't resist reading more. So there you have it. Thanks for hanging out with me today. And if you know any writers who need some support in their writing, please share this episode or the Writer Unleashed podcast in general. And if you love what you're listening to, subscribe on your favorite listening platform and please leave me a review. Reading how this podcast impacts your writing truly lights me up and helps me create topics for the show. Till next time, keep writing, and I'll talk to you soon.